I want to thank Dean for asking me to share this morning. It's a privilege and an honor. If you ever have the chance to teach at a fellowship, if anyone asks you, I encourage you to take the opportunity to grow and to learn and put yourself out there with God. It's true. If I could do it, anyone can do it. So this morning, we are going to look at expecting God, and we're going to look at a little bit of the renewed mind as well. Another thing I want to mention is, are any of you guys out there looking for, I don't know, maybe a husband one day? Yeah. Make sure, or a wife, make sure that person puts God first. I can't tell you how thankful I am to have a husband that does that. It's priceless. I just wanted to mention that. That's more important than literally any other quality a person could have. It doesn't matter how cool they are, how good of hair they have, what they even look like, really. You want someone that can pray for you and someone that keeps God first with you. So, wanted to mention that. So we're going to look at expecting God. But first, I need two volunteers. Naomi and May. Okay. She's got this bright orange shirt on. Okay, so you're going to do a basic trust fall. All right? Okay. Give it up. Good job, yeah. Actually, wait, before you go anywhere. May, did you expect that your sister was going to catch you? I guess I picked, not... Did you expect her to do so?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Just say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. She expected her sister to catch her. Okay, you can have a seat. Do you wake up on a Thursday in the fall did you wake up on Thursday, this past Thursday, it's not fall, expecting to come to camp?
Yes.
You'll see where I'm going with the fall thing. Do you usually go to bed on a Sunday in the fall, expecting to go to school or to work the next day? On a Monday, right? If a friend says, let's meet up at the park at 6 o'clock, do you expect them to be there at the park at 6 o'clock? Yeah, well, it depends, right? Could you potentially show up and them not be there? Do you go into situations expecting that God may or may not be there? Think about it. Do you? Honestly. God will never disappoint you. He'll always be at the park at 6 p.m. when you need him there. He's with you wherever you go. We should always expect God to be there for us the same way we expect that friend to be there for us in a trust ball at the park, wherever. But he is the best one we will ever have. He's our Father. So let's turn to Psalm 62, verse 5. Psalm 62 and in verse 5. So the word expect, it's a great word. It's one that I really like. And it means to have a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future. And really, expecting is just believing, right? A strong belief. So Psalm 62. If I ever get there. And in verse 5, it says... Dun, dun, dun. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And that word expectation, again, is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. Look at Psalm 71, verse 5. Psalm 71, verse 5. Thought this was a cool verse. It says, for thou art my hope, O God, thou art my trust from my youth. And we're at a youth advance, right? A lot of you guys are young. You could start building that pattern of trust in your life now. It really doesn't even matter how old you are, whether you're, none of us are 5 here, but as little as a little kid or as old as the oldest person here. But that's a great thing to do. Build that trust, for thou art my hope, and that hope is that same word, expectation. From Psalm 62. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. So that's what we do as believers. We just look at, you know, how we can have that expectation, that believing attitude that God will do amazing things for us. People you might expect good things from are usually people that you trust and you know well, right? People you've gotten to know well over the years, they have a good reputation, they're trustworthy, and they have integrity. Those are just some general qualities of, you know, people in my life that I thought of that I trust. And God is obviously way greater than any person, and that is why we can have great expectation in him in all circumstances. But in order to expect anything from God, we should get to know a little bit about him. And that's what we'll do in a second here. God has great ability. He can do more than we can ask or think in any single situation. Let's look at 2 Peter 1:4. So we should get to know our Father. We should read his word. We should pray. I mean, I know these are all things that we know, but do we do them? 2 Peter 1:4. Actually, let's look at verse 3. This is a great verse, too. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So we should have a knowledge of God in order to expect him to do stuff. In verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have been given great and precious promises that we can hold on to, that we can grasp, that Martine kind of, you know, shared about, that we can just renew our mind to in any single situation. And if you look at kind of the later part of the verse, it says that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. You know, we're not under the adversary's domain anymore, so, like, let's not expect that, you know? We will face tribulation. Yeah, it does say that, but don't expect that. We're not under his rule anymore. We are God's children, as we have heard time and time again this weekend, so beautifully shared. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:7. We have a God that is a powerful God that when we pray and believe, he comes through. I don't know why I flipped away from Peter. 1 Peter 5:7. It says, and again, Martine shared this before, but casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When you cast your care, you give it to him, you swat it. You just expect that he's going to take care of that prayer that you just prayed because he's a God that answers. So you have that expecting attitude of believing, looking forward to something that's going to happen because you prayed. Let's look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. And the reason we pray is because God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to talk to him. He knows we'll have needs, again, like what that was shared. But he wants to hear from us. He's already working on things that are on your heart right now, but he does want to hear from you. So Matthew 21, 22. It says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, doing what?
Believing.
Believing. That is the key. That is the missing piece. It's believing. Ye shall, and that is an absolute shall, receive. God has to answer his promises. He's not a God that lies, and he's not a God that goes back on his word. Let's look at Philippians 4:19. This is a great one. So these are just some promises in God's word that we can expect him to come through on. Philippians 4, verse 19, probably not one you don't know. Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by or in Christ Jesus. And how rich is God? I mean, he's the richest thing out there. He is the God of all resources. He's just amazing. So don't limit him and don't forget about him. Don't just hold stuff in, like let it go. Give it to God and watch him take care of you. Watch him supply all your need. And you don't even know what your need is. You might think you do a lot of times, but God knows. God knows. Don't try to figure it out. Just expect him to come through for you in your individual situation. Let's look at 3 John 2. 3 John 2. There is a lot packed in this verse, if you think about it. 3 John verse 2. So 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That is what God wishes above everything, is that we would prosper and be in health, that we would be healthy people, and that our journey in life is prosperous. To prosper means to be successful, to grant a prosperous and expedient journey, to lead by a direction in an easy way. God wants life to be easy for us. He wants things to be easy for us. So expect that. Don't expect to fight so hard for stuff in your life. Don't expect life to be such a struggle. Expect God to take care of you. Just believe him. Sometimes I think we don't expect enough, or at least I speak for myself. Sometimes I feel like I just water down maybe what I do need, and I'm like, well, you know what? I can make things easier for you, God, by not expecting so much, and that way it's not so hard for you. But that is totally the wrong attitude to have. Don't water down, you know, stuff that you need. Don't water down those things, because God will take care of it for you. He wants your life to be prosperous. He wants your ways, your life, to be easy. And to be in health is to be sound, to be well, to be in good health. Can you move the word when you're struggling mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually? It's tough, right? It's tough if you're not feeling good, but he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be healthy so you could have an easy, prosperous journey, so you could move the word, because that's what we're here to do, right? We've heard that time and time again. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. So God just, he wants the very best for us. And again, these are just some promises that we can cling on to when things get kind of hard. But these are great things we can keep in our mind when we are kind of having a hard time. That things that we can expect God to do for us. Ephesians 3:20. Everyone doing okay? Yeah? Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 20. This is arguably my favorite verse in the Bible, and I never thought to look up what these words meant, so I did when I was putting this together. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Another kind of crazy verse. So now unto him that is able, now unto him that is capable, strong, and powerful to do exceeding or more abundantly beyond, above, more beyond, over all that we ask or beg or call or crave or desire or think or to perceive with the mind, according to the power or the strength or ability that worketh or that's operative at work in us. That is another jam-packed verse. That's crazy. Now unto him that is capable. He's capable. So why not expect him to do stuff? He is more capable than any person on this planet. So go to him. Don't go to your friend. I mean, that's good too. But, you know, go to God first. Keep God first in your life. Because he is able. He is powerful. He goes above and beyond all that we can ask or even come up with in our mind. All that we crave. All that we desire. All that we think. All that we perceive. He's doing things for us that we can't even really, like, think about. We can't even, like, understand it in our mind. Do you understand that? That's crazy. That's crazy. He's going above and beyond all that we can ask or think according to that power. So that power that God's got, it's in us. The strength or the power that works in us. Crazy. Think about that the rest of this weekend, because I still can't really comprehend it. It's crazy. But it's awesome. It's God. You know, that's the God that we've got. We've got Christ in us, and God is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And Malachi 3:6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God's never going to go back on his word. God's never going to, like I said in the beginning, he's never not going to show up for you. He'll always be there. He is the one thing that we can always expect stuff from. You know, our parents are great and our friends are great, but they're not God, and we should never make them our God. We'll just be left disappointed, but with God, he will never disappoint us. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man." That's great. Thank God for that, right? God is not a man that he should lie. He'll never lie to you. So all these things that are written in his word, that's the truth. That is not a lie. That's something that you could stake your very life on, and you will have that prosperous, healthy journey, you know, or prosperous, healthy life. Let's look at Exodus 3:10. This is the kind of God that we have. This is the kind of God that God is. Exodus 3:10. Isabel shared so beautifully on the love of God yesterday, and she, if you remember, she went to 1 Samuel 12:22. It says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake." Not for your great name's sake, but for his great name's sake, because that's who he is. And in Exodus 3:10, my point there is, like, it's not about who we are, it's about who God is. God can't go back on his word. So don't expect him to, because he's not going to. So Exodus 3, and we'll read 10 through 14. It says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people to the children of Israel out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I?" He says, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And don't we feel like that sometimes when God maybe is showing you to do something, or God's working in you to do something that you might not think that you're qualified for? You're like, "Who am I?" You know? I mean, I can so relate to this. And in verse 12 it says, "And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." When we do God's will, or what God's putting on our heart that we know is right, we're doing his will. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." And this is God telling Moses, "I will become what you need me to become." And that is what God will do for us in any given situation. He will become exactly what we need him to become for us. So again, expect that. Go into situations knowing you are more than a conqueror, that you are loved, that God can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And that, not only that, but God will become what you need him to become if you need that backup. He's got you. He's got you. So expect that. Expect that. So what do we do while we sit there and we expect God? We've prayed. We've put the word on in our heart. Another thing we could do is we can have that believing attitude by having a respect for the word. When you recall it to your mind, you know, what do you think? What do you think? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by believing, not by what we see, right? We walk by what the word says, what God says, not by what we see. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I'm only, you know, just reading these because they've already been read, but it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." Do we do that in situations, or do we kind of get tripped up by what we see sometimes? Maybe. But it's the word. It's the word that we believe. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. It's the word. We don't go by faith. We go by what God says. And we don't let the adversary get in there trying to talk us out of it. So we just have that great believing expectation, and we just have great respect for God, that he will come through for us. So 1 Thessalonians 2, and in verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men." And we know that men aren't, you know, reliable. "But you received it not as the word of men, as it is in truth, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So we receive it as the truth, that we are so convicted that the truth of God's word is the truth of God's word, and that it can't fail and that it won't fail. We don't flip back and forth in our minds. That's just, it's just we accept it. God says it, that settles it, right? Let's look at Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. So that's the attitude that we have towards God's word when we're sitting in that period of maybe waiting for God to come through for us. Jeremiah 15, and then in verse 16. Jeremiah 15, and in verse 16. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did what?"
He
ate them, not physically, but he took them in. He enjoyed them. You know, he took it all in. And it says, "As a result, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by name, O Lord God of hosts." The word was unto him the joy and rejoicing of his heart. We could stay in there. We could stay in there with joy and rejoicing in our hearts as we read the word, as we expect God to come through for us. We don't have to be discouraged or dismayed. That's not the kind of life that we want to live, you know? We don't want to sit there and be all pouty and struggling. I mean, sometimes we are. I understand that. But look, we have a renewed mind, or we have a mind that can be renewed. Look at Romans 10:11. Romans 10:11. Is this making sense so far? Okay, great. I told this to my fellowship recently. Sometimes I just have like so much on my heart. I'm not sure if when I speak, like say it, like does it make sense? You know, I don't know. I know that most of the time it probably does, but anyway. Romans 10, verse 11. It says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed." And that word ashamed means disappointed in one's expectation. For the scripture says, whoever will believe on him shall not be ashamed. We won't be disappointed in our expectation towards God. That's what the word says. We will never be disappointed. So expect God to come through for you. Expect God to do great things for you. Look at Psalm 33. So this must be our attitude if we're going to see God do great things for us. You know, we do need to have a respect for God and his word. And something else that we do while we wait for him is we stay in there with a renewed mind. Renewed mind is believing action. Renewed mind is the key to power. The world promotes otherwise. The world promotes that you can't control your mind, that you can just let your emotions run. And you can, because you have free will to do that. But we know the word, right? And we know probably enough of it. Even if you just know one verse, you hold on to that verse and you let nothing take it away. The devil doesn't, you know, he wants you to cower. He wants you to expect less from God. But that renewed mind power is just a thought away. It's just a single thought away. And sometimes having an expecting mind takes some work. And there might be some adversity, but you can do it. You could put that word on in your mind. So Psalm 33, I'm not even there. Does someone want to read it? It's Psalm 33, verse 20 and 21. Isabel, nice and loud. Psalm 33, verse 20 and 21. Sure, and you could turn around. 20 and 21.
Okay, Psalm 33, 20 and 21. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, he is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name.
Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and shield. And sometimes that's what we do. We just have to wait. We just have to wait, but we don't get discouraged. Verse 21 says, for our heart shall. That's future tense. I mean, that's like a definite shall, but that's future. It shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. So this is like the psalmist looking back being, or, you know, looking towards the future, like, I will rejoice in his name because I have trusted in him. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So sometimes we have to wait, but God is our help and our shield. And we will rejoice when we get that deliverance. Have you ever had a prayer answered and you're kind of just like, wow, I can't believe it? But that's like, yeah, you can believe it. And then you're just so thankful after. It's just a great attitude to have. Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. So you just look forward to that joy, that deliverance. You look forward to that moment when you get healed of something that's been bugging you, when you get that prayer answered, when you just get that wisdom that you need about what to do next year. Should I go to college? Should I, you know, live with believers? What do I do? When you get that definite answer, it's like such a relief. So expect that from him. Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by renewing your mind to those verses that I've shared and that were shared all weekend. It's incredible. Be not conformed. Don't conform. Don't mold to this world, but be transformed. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you do prove that when you stand on his word and when you do what God tells you to do in a given situation. Let's look at, actually, I'll just read it. 1 Samuel 12:24, it says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Consider, that word consider look means to look at, to inspect, to observe, to consider, to give attention to discern. So you recall to your mind in situations when you might be having a tough time about other times that God has answered a prayer. That helps me. When I'm going through a period, when I'm having a hard time, I just consider. I consider the things God has done for me, the things that he's gotten me out of, the ways he's healed my heart. And that helps me keep going. And this is, you know, this is a great principle to apply. I mean, I'm sure we all have at least one answered prayer we can think about that we can call to mind and just remember. And remember how great God was in that moment. I mean, he still is, but it's just you and God, you know, and no one really knows what goes on except for you and him. So consider it. Consider how great things he has done for you. Let's look at Acts 3, verse 1. Acts 3, verse 1. We're going to look at an example here of someone that expected. I was going to read Mark 9, but just like what happened to Martine, he took my record. Acts 3, verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb. So picture this. You're a person, you go to, I don't know, people bring you to this temple, and you haven't been able to walk since you were in your mother's womb. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So he's like, hey, he got their attention. And Peter, fastening, he looked at him, he locked eyes with him, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And this guy, he gave heed unto him, he listened. And what did he do? He expected to receive something of them. So he looked at them and he expected to receive. Do we look at God and expect to receive? We should. We should be just like this guy. This guy had such a heart to get healed. He had such an expectation to get healed. He expected something from them. And we'll see what that was. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, instantly. So he didn't have to wait. I mean, he spent all that time waiting already, but in this instance, he didn't have to wait. His feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He expected something. He had that believing that he would expect something from them. And, you know, vice versa. Peter and John expected that this guy would get healed too, right? There was believing on their end. It takes, you know, two to get something accomplished done. Let's look at 1 Kings 17. And I want to point out in that record in Mark that father had to renew his mind for his son to get healed. He was having a hard time. The apostles couldn't heal his son because the father was having trouble believing. The son was not in his right mind to believe for himself. But that father, Jesus Christ, demanded believing, and he got his mind there. And I think that's incredible. So, you know, God does, he commands believing. And we could do that because of God's great namesake, because of who God is. So 1 Kings 17, we'll look at another example here before we wrap this up. 1 Kings 17. And it says in verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, Thus the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, ready for this, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." What? Think about this. There's a drought, right? And you're probably like, how am I going to get water? He says, go to this brook. And then God tells you, oh, I'm just going to send a bird to feed you. What would you do? Like, what would your reaction be if God was like, yes, a bird is going to show up, and that's what's going to be your, that's how you're going to get your food. I think about this record, like, all the time. I don't know what I would do. I don't know. But look at the meekness here, you know. So he went, in verse 5, and did according to the word of the Lord. He listened. And he must have expected, you know, he went there expecting something. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. God supplied. God supplied a very big need in a very weird way. Verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So he supplied his needs for that specific time. And then he goes on to take care of him in another way. If you keep reading, let's see, in verse 8, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. It kind of got weirder. You know what I mean? Like how Patty said, like, life kind of gets weird. It kind of got weird for this guy. He's like, okay, I fed you with food from these birds, and like you drank of this brook until it dried out. You still have needs, so I've planned a widow woman to be at this place for you, and like that's how you're gonna get taken care of from here on out. I don't have time to read the whole record, but if it goes on, and it's just incredible how God supplies needs in crazy ways that we would never even think of, like Ephesians 3:20 says. But you just stay in there and you expect, and you just stand there with meekness. You stand there with a renewed mind. You stand there peaceful so you can hear from God. Let's look at Ephesians 6:16. I love that record. You really should read the rest of it. It gets even crazier after that, believe it or not. But it's such a great one. God sees and he provides. He becomes what we need him to become. And in Ephesians 6, almost done. You know, it's so easy to just kind of maybe let our mind slip, like in that situation. Elijah could have been like, yeah, I don't know about this raven. Like, maybe I can go out and, like, hunt some food or something. I don't know about this widow woman. I'm going to go the other way. You know, he could have totally talked himself out of the word of the Lord thus said the Lord. You know what I mean? And Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, above everything, everything that it lists before that, above all, taking the shield of faith or believing, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yes, we will, you know, we'll be poked and prodded by the adversary sometimes, but you can take that shield of believing, and that will quench all the fiery darts. When your mind tries to talk you out of something, you just put on the word. You just get that believing, renewed mind in there. James 1:5 says, but let him ask nothing wavering, for he that waveth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Do we want to be like that? No, we want to ask for stuff. Sorry, I think that's verse 6. We want to ask for stuff and just stay in there with God. We just want to stand put or stay put. We don't want to move. We don't want to be tossed around. We don't want to go back and forth in our mind, because then we just become unstable. Then it's like, what do I even believe, you know? And it kind of spirals after that, and it's harder to get yourself back. And we'll close in Galatians 5:6. This is really where what it all comes down to. So Galatians 5:6. Galatians 5 and in verse 6. It says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith or believing which worketh by love. This is what it comes down to. God's love for us is what energizes our believing in him. We know he loves us. It was never God's will for us to become failures or to be failures in life. It's in fact his will to make us successful, because we are more than conquerors. We're his kids. Why wouldn't he want the best for us? But this requires believing and trusting in him. Just know that all things are presently available to us right now at this very moment who believe. So let's be partakers of these promises and this life that we get to live and expect God to do great things for us. And that's all I wanted to share.